We need a new reformation in America. I don't agree with Jehovah's Witness. I don't agree with the Mormons. I'll tell you this. There ain't no way in God's earth that poor farmer went out there and sat behind the sheet and dictated that. Without some help from something. I don't understand it, but I can tell you this. I don't put the Mormons down. Don't agree with them. I'll be teaching on Ed for Casey. But there are lots of ignorant people that haven't taken the trouble to find out about that phenomenal man. I don't believe in reincarnation. As it is taught by him. But I'm willing to tackle the collision between traditional Christian truth and the challenge raised by Edgar Casey. I'm not afraid to look at Nostradamus. I'll tell you this, he has a higher ratio of fulfillment than a lot of prophets that have come around to me with the word from the Lord. I ain't writing off Nostradamus. I sat in Catherine Kuhlman's meetings. She bagged 1,000. Her imitators don't do that well. And I think I have an explanation for that. That gives God all his due, but it's not limited. It's not just limited to God. And it just literally out here in California ripped the stuffing out of some people. To find that dear Catherine could move around. I mean, when she walked into that lobby in Macau, I know some friends who were there. And she wasn't out to conduct a healing service that night. Now, I'm one who will fight for the reality of Catherine Kuhlman's ministry, and I have no time for her detractors. You see, we don't believe Paul when he said he was chief of sinners, and we don't believe that he really meant what he is saying when he picked Abraham and David to prove to a New Testament audience that works don't save anybody. As he cataloged the standing that Abram and David would have in front of God. The father of the faith. And the first of the perpetual kingly line. Leading right on up to the crowning of Jesus. I can't stand self-righteousness. You want to make me mad? You let one of those burdens come around me. And stand self-righteousness. You say, well, don't you do it? Yeah, I decided to fight back for the little guy. The establishment has been putting everybody down if you don't fit their little mold. The prophetic function has always been to rattle the cage of the establishment. Boy, do they squall and squeal. I don't tell any of the people in my church not to listen to anybody. I say, listen to them. And it drives them back to my church. It's only fear and insecurity that makes you draw up an index. You're scared somebody will turn the light on. And anybody that throws up that Berlin Wall, you ought to know, going out the gate, run like hell and get out of that place. Turn that ignoramus off. Christianity has been a purveyor of ignorance too long, and God never intended that. I've been preaching all weekend. God wants quality. He doesn't like clay heads, rock heads, and thorn bushes. And most people he don't want. I think I'm going to preach it again tonight. Dang it. I've just had it. That's got me worked up. You just sit tight there. I'm going to preach a little tonight. Had it. I mean, I love the Catholic folks, too. Only thing I've gotten so mad at them about, I can even forgive the history of some of their bad popes. Even that woman pope that didn't get discovered until right in the procession, she. I even will forgive their orgies. That ain't my style. I mean, you know, if I knew anything about that stuff, that ain't the way I do it. I mean, you know, I don't like to get confused. I like to concentrate. I mean, you have too much of anything. But I can forgive the Pope their orgies. And don't get mad at me, Catholics. The history is there. What I can't forgive is the Inquisition and the Index. They keep people ignorant. Don't read that. I'm out here to turn the light on. I believe God can survive anything. So you can always tell the quotient of a man's ignorance by the way he tries to keep you from listening to somebody. Go, everybody, turn this man on that criticized me. Try him for about 3 nights. If you don't commit suicide, come back. My God, you know, I want quality. Another reason why I don't like orgies. Too much other stuff gets in the way. Of course, that's hearsay. I mean, all I know is there's just an awful lot of noise in the back of my ice truck. I just drove. That's all I did was drive. I drove it. And there are no windows in the cab that you can see in there. None at all. Dang it. And he began to teach by the seaside, Mark 4. Now, I want you to understand how important this is. When Jesus gets done, he said in the 13th verse, "Know ye not this parable? How then will you know all parables?" In essence, what he's saying, you ain't going to know anything about Christianity if you can't understand this. He began to teach by the seaside. There was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into the ship, a ship, and sat in the sea. I've thought about that all day. I just don't believe that that's an accurate translation of what he did. Now, I know King James may have been there when he wrote this. I just don't believe Jesus would walk into a boat and then sit in the sea. That just doesn't make sense to me. I don't think that's accurate. He entered into a ship, and I think he sat in the ship, which was in the sea. It just doesn't make any sense. Unless you do it that way. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. That's nice to know. He taught them many things but parables, and he said unto them in his doctrine, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. Came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And the fowls of the air came, devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away." Wayside literally means path, well traveled. Just packed down like clay. Throw seed on it. It couldn't penetrate unless you'd break the seed with a hammer before you broke the earth. Stony ground. When the sun was up, it was scorched because it had no root. It withered away. Some fell among thorns, and thorns grew up and choked it, yielded no fruit. The other fell on good ground, did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And he said unto them, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now that's the problem. The church has got too many people in it without ears. You either got them or you haven't. When he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable, and he said unto them, listen close, all you people that weren't turned in yesterday. I taught on this all day yesterday. He said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. You see, that's a gift. Some have it and some don't. Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Listen to what he says. That seeing they may see and perceive not. That seeing they may see and not perceive. And hearing they may hear and not understand. Lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. You see, God doesn't want some people. I thought God always wanted me. I mean, I thought when everything else failed that I wanted to do, I could always go to Him. You got a clay head, He don't want you. That means you're dense. You're a rock head, He doesn't want you. And man, seems to me like all my life in church, thorns been clawing at me. He don't want you. I love whosoever will may come. That's true. God will keep His word. So in order that He doesn't be put in that awkward position, He just clouds the truth with parable till you can't figure it out. If you don't understand, you won't want to come. Why make it hard for Him? Why are you teaching in parable, Jesus? Well, there's some of these knuckleheads that don't want. Why are you telling this parable? Some may not understand. You got it. That's the point. I don't want some of this riffraff. I don't want clay heads, rock heads, and thorn bushes. I mean, I paid the price to buy this whole damn world to get the treasure that's in it. And that treasure is good soil. See, the church has made Christianity so cheap. God's trembling outside man's door trying to get in. Will you accept Jesus? Who are you to accept Jesus? He could spit and turn you into a wet spot. And then I'd get some dignity back into this. Matthew 13, same passage in Matthew, tells this same parable. And it goes on to say, He paid the price to buy the whole world to get the treasure out of it. See, the problem with the church is it's got a lot of people in it that are bad soil. They're not natural responders to God. You know, supernatural is more natural. They're not natural responders to God. I mean, they got to be whipped in or gimmicked in or sucked in or tricked in or scared in. If the soil's good, and if the gift of understanding is there, that's what the theologians call prevenient grace. God's looking for you. It may come as a shock to some dumb heads that God doesn't want them. And the whole concept is reversed by a church that builds a Berlin wall to keep them in. I mean, we got to save these people for God, because if we don't put chains and balls and chains on them, they're going to flee away. Let them go. I mean, if God wants them bad enough, He'll swallow them with a whale. And I'm still, I woke up in the middle of the night getting crawlies over that. I mean, 3 days and three nights down there in that pitch black and feeling this stuff going by you, and you know where it's going. And I'm saying, oh, God, don't send me out that door. And I don't like the company I have to keep when we get close to the exit. What is this business? Index. East Berlin, East Berlin Wall Church. God ain't hard up. As if God is concerned about how you dress. Now that reveals the mentality of somebody. Of course, when you are a righteous preacher who would never smoke and never dress funny, well, you need to wear those big three-piece baggy suits to cover your lustful body that has subjected itself to the lusts of the flesh, eating so much you got a belly that's as big as an elephant. The Bible talks about lust in the King James Version. It translates a Greek word that means desire. Don't talk to me about habit-forming tobacco if you can't walk past an ice cream counter. Don't insult my intelligence. You see, I don't try to save anybody. I don't make altar calls. And I have to fight people off who want to be baptized. And I don't really understand how I'm saying that figuratively. I want to baptize them, but we haven't got the time or the opportunity to baptize all the people that are turning to God. I got a stack of calls right here, just like the one the other night. I can't believe it. I mean, I stayed stoned for weeks, ran with the drug crowd, and I've been watching you for 2 weeks, and I haven't been stoned in 2 weeks, and I just now realize that. God will change people if the soil's there. I'm not changing my faith in Jesus Christ. Everybody knows where I stand. I just respect other people's positions. I'm tired of them being put down. I'm tired of sinners being dumped on. I'm tired of entertainers being told the price of salvation is to bury your talent and come crawling in and salute some two-bit Christian television host who's sitting there salivating at the chance to finally have a go on and be yourself in God. Don't let anybody tell you what you have to do to be a Christian. The only thing you have to do to be a Christian is to have faith in Jesus Christ and God and His Word. He gives it to faithers. I'm tired of being dumped on. Of course, you know, nobody was ever that successful at dumping on me. I'm just tired of other people being dumped on. I pastor a church. I'm a historic churchman. I've paid my dues. I did my Ph.D. at Stanford in philosophies of education. I did my dissertation on the leading neo-orthodox theologian of the day. I've preached around this globe. I was the man who reorganized a major denomination. And the superintendent of that denomination, it pains him greatly to have to admit it, because he wanted to keep me inside their Berlin Wall. I left voluntarily, and I'm fed up and deciding that what this country needs is a new reformation to set people free from the bondage of tradition that has made void the Word of God. And let my competitors argue with me quoting Scripture, not out of context. Don't use epitaphs and name-calling, because I am pretty good at that myself. And if we want to engage in a name-calling contest, we'll see who has the biggest vocabulary. And if you want me to love you, don't bother. Because love isn't something you prove. I don't claim to have much. Whatever I have is God in me. And all these super lovers, I am sent by God to prove up the genuineness of their love by being the hardest man to love in the church world, never having bragged to have much. If they have so much, let them start with me. If they get past loving me, then I'll believe they got it. In the meantime, I'm going to love sinners. Because I don't have to work at that. And it's such work to love hypocrites. It just ain't worth the effort. I thank my God that He doesn't want some people in heaven. He doesn't want. No. I'm covering up the truth lest these people discover it. That's what it says here. Is that what your Bible says? 12th verse, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Glory to me, God might not forgive me. Not unless the soil's right. See, I've heard evangelists scream at people, tell them stories at altar calls about somebody on their deathbed committing the unpardonable sin, wanting to come to God and can't. I don't know what the unpardonable sin is, but I can tell you, if you want to come to God, you haven't committed it. And don't let anybody beat on you. There's a sin unto death. There's a sin against the Holy Ghost. There's a sin for which there's no remission. There's multiplied references. But there's one common key that tells you whether you've committed it or not. No man cometh to the Father, save the Spirit drawing. Nobody can understand, this gospel says, unless the gift of understanding is there. Unless the ground is there, you can't make it. Am I boring you? I had it with these Berlin Wall churches. They're not all like that. I'm sorting them out. I'm looking for the Reformation men. Pharisees of today that don't make it in, get their kicks out of criticizing people. Well, aren't you criticizing? I'm criticizing the critic. That's the oldest prophetic function. It's the only criticism Jesus ever leveled against self-righteous pinheads. I'm out here to let the world know that God loves you as you are. And any change that occurs in you doesn't have to be in my image or meet my approval or anybody else's approval. Only has to meet God's approval. You and God work it out. I'm in the business of introducing you to God and His Word. You know, one of the most difficult studies man can do is the pyramid. So if you're a little old anti-this and anti-that, peanut brain world is being shattered, and you don't have the brains to be able to put down this teaching, you just name call. Some preacher criticized me for the way I dress. One of these pot-bellied three-piecers. You know, these spiritual penguins. Wonder what he had done if he hadn't been preaching at the second church of Chebar. Last thing I heard of Elijah, of Ezekiel, he is out there laying, just laying out there on the ground. Now, is that any way for a preacher to act? How long has he been there? He's got a church to pastor. I mean, the man called to God. And he's just laying out there. I mean, he hasn't even turned over. He's just laying on one side. Neglecting his family and his kids. There ain't no way for a preacher to act. Hasn't taken a bath since he's been out there. I mean, let's just get this straight, folks. As the Bible records it, the poor man didn't even go to a toilet. Well, how long's he been there? Over a year? Huh? Well, he started out right, but he went bad. A few months later, I'm checking up on Brother Ezekiel. This is Bible, friends. You know, most people never get out of John 3:16. Well, I'm coming by on my annual cult study tour. What's Brother Ezekiel doing now? Well, he turned over. What? Yeah, he turned over. He's laying on the other side now. And you know what he's been doing? He's been making little old clay images of Jerusalem. The guy's flipped. Well, how long has he been on the other side? Over a month. He started out right, but he does funny things now, so doesn't fit the tradition. He couldn't be from God. I come by to revise my book next year. My anti-cult book. The only good way to revise it would be to burn it, but you know, I'm making money with it. I mean, I'm really getting rich combating error. I'm the answer man. Now I got to give answers to everything. Now what's Ezekiel doing now? He started out right and he went bad. Has he ever gotten right? No, he's out there baking cakes. Well, that's an improvement. I believe I'll go have a bite. Oh. What in the world you put in this? Cow dung? What do you bake a cake with cow dung for? God told me to. I'm going to have to rewrite the whole chapter on Ezekiel. Went back and wrote it and think I'm up to date. I come back to Chebar to peddle my book on the anti-cow dung cake eating cult. It's the sequel to the don't lay on one side too long cult. What you doing now? Cutting hair. Well, now that's a respectable job. I believe a preacher can cut hair. Well, he's cutting his own. Well, it needed to be cut. I mean, the hair had grown all the time. He had laid on his side and ate those cakes with cow dung. Fertilizing it that way, it really got long. I'm glad to know. Maybe I've converted him by writing my two new anti-lay-on-your-side cult and anti-bake-cakes-with-cow-dung cult. What's he doing? I want to go see him cut hair. Well, I don't think he really does. You know what he's doing? He's counting hairs now. He's cut it and he's counting it. Huh? Yeah, he's counting it. Let's watch him. So I get out my self-righteous binoculars, refined and honed to find faults in other people. Yes, sure enough, he is. He's right there counting hair. I never saw anything like that for a man of God. Wait a minute, he's got them all counted. Look at him. He's got them in three piles. Now, I happen to know, I believe this in secret because once in a while it connects me to the Trinity. I'm worried about numerology. It might be a cult, but I do know three somehow relates to God. He's got three piles. Maybe he's starting to get spiritual. And then, lo and behold, He starts blowing on one pile.
This is the end of side one. For the rest of the teaching, please turn the tape over for side two. Thank you.